Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
But last night, Mr. Thompson, hey, he gave the benediction. Amen. He dismissed him.
Yeah, whatever that means. Rock on! Rockets launch! Big game for the Rockets tonight. Huge game for the Rockets tonight. This is a city that wins divisions. And if the Rockets take down the Memphis Grizzlies, they'll sweep them for the year. Today, it always could be the greatest day of your lives. Today could also be the biggest day in Rockets history. Yeah, I said it. I'm not afraid to say it. When you look at things through that lens, anything can be the greatest. This isn't me reading some Jack Easterby book or a TB12 book. No. This is just me knowing this is what it is. And tonight, Rockets Grizzlies, huge game. And there's a lot of Rockets hype now, Joe George.
There's a lot of Rockets hype now. People are bought in to the Houston Rockets. It took them a little bit. It's all right. The national media is always behind us a little bit. I am a little concerned at the start of the show now. Even the idea of you reading a Jack Easterby book concerns me, Paul.
It would be a fun, ironic hate read. But I look at his Instagram. Not his Instagram. I look at his LinkedIn, and his LinkedIn's good enough. Someone just turned that into a book. It could be a calendar. It could be all sorts of different things. But tonight, big game. And I really am enjoying that all of a sudden, the Rockets are getting love from the national media. First off, they're number 2 in the NBA power rankings for the entire league. Not just the Western Conference, where they have the second best record. They're number 2 in all of the NBA because they've beaten every single other team that's in the top 10. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the only team ahead of them. They're playing great. I'm skeptical they'll be able to keep it going for the rest of the year, but tonight, 5-point dogs. The disrespect.
They're 5-point dogs tonight?
They've beaten them 3 times this year, and they're 5-point dogs. Unbelievable. Put that on the bulletin board, Ime Udoka.
I think I'm going to go over to my bookie and place me a little wager.
It's a risk-free Thursday,
oh, that's
Joe.
That's the best day to do it.
I mean, this is the day to jump aboard. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus.
Look, this team has been a lot of fun to watch this year. I'm with you. Like, will they be the 2 seed at the end of the year? I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens in the next 7 days. You know, by next Thursday, Jimmy Butler could be a Memphis Grizzly, for all we know. I don't know if
that would
means.
Be interesting.
Like, I know he said he doesn't want to go there, but also it seems like no one else wants him. So, like, maybe he'll acquiesce and just, you know, get out of Miami if that's really what he wants to do. But the Rockets are going to be a top 4 seed, I think, at a minimum by the end of the season. So, yeah, they might not keep up this pace, but they deserve to be the number 2 team in the power rankings because they've beaten everyone that's in front of them.
More Rockets glazing. Here's Stephen A. Smith talking about that incredible young man named Ahmed Thompson.
Thompson, this brother, I'm here. Hear me and hear me good, Wendy. This is a future star in this league. You see this? Wendy is so right. He plays bigger than what he is. He's a tenacious defender. Definitely a damn good rebounder. Got size. Nice step back move. That was on Jaylen Brown. That's who he did that to. Okay. He didn't do that to just anybody. He did that to Jaylen Brown. So let's remember that as well. Got nice size on him. Tremendous athleticism. Plays with a lot of energy. Is fierce. Got a lot of heart, etc.
This brother.
He likes Ahmed Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
That is glazing. The definition of glazing is that audio clip. If anyone's ever confused, just send that to them.
Rocket in
was going to say glaze.
No, I'm bricked up, as the kids in this time slot used to say. We pour one out for them. And we continue because we look ahead to tonight's huge Rockets game. Big question I have right now, because we are in a honeymoon phase. There's zero expectations. You're playing with house money, blah, 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 all the cliches. How far does this thing go?
I think they can go to the Western Conference Finals this year.
Hell yeah, dude.
Why not? Why can't they? Look what happened last night. The Golden State Warriors, or the Oklahoma City Thunder lost, what, to the Warriors, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 50 points. Like they don't have a second scorer. They don't have, like, that other guy. Like, talking about maybe they could acquire Cam Thomas from the Brooklyn Nets or something like that. There's not the elite team that in the Western Conference that there was even last year. And we saw Dallas get to the finals last year. We thought the Timberwolves were going to be the team. Well, they made a trade that's kind of blowing up in their face with Julius Randle, you know, replacing Karl-Anthony Towns.
Who would have thought that, like, would happen? Yeah. Honestly, that trade made a lot of sense for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Just given Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't seem to have that it factor. Throwing lots of basketball cliches at you. And yet, yeah, he's actually been good in New York, and Randle not so much.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I look at the Western Conference right now, and I'm unimpressed. I think there's a lot of teams that are good basketball teams, but no one is the team. And it's like in the East, it's going to be Cleveland or Boston.
Boston.
Those are the two teams.
Cleveland.
I'm with you. It'll be Boston in the long run. But in the West, how could you be confident saying that anybody in the Western Conference is definitely, definitively better than the Houston Rockets? It's not the Rockets. It's the other teams.
I still have a hard time saying they're better than the rest of these teams because I am stunned by how this season has gone. I would say right now, Denver seems to be unlocking Russell Westbrook, which is really weird. I thought he was done last year. Here he is this season, actually looking good with Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. He's actually deferring for a change. So the Nuggets are the team I wonder about. Jokic is having one of the best seasons ever. And the last time you played the Nuggets, he didn't play. So it's just something to keep in mind.
For sure.
This has been a lot of fun. As I see them going, I think it's the second round. I still think it's the second round. I do think that there's going to be a stretch where they come back to earth. I mean, this is a team that struggled to shoot the ball this year, and all of a sudden, since Amen Thompson's gotten into the starting lineup, they're the second-best three-point shooting team in basketball. That's probably going to fall back to earth. But I'm loving this, and I like that all of a sudden they're getting a little bit of airtime on those Speak for Your Pizza shows.
They deserve it. And the thing about with how far they can go, you know, think about tonight's game. If everything played out as is right now, they would play the Grizzlies in the second round of the playoffs. Like they can beat the Grizzlies in a playoff series. Why couldn't they? They've beat them three times in the regular season. If they win tonight, that'll be four times in the regular season. The Grizzlies have no real playoff experience. I mean, what Ja Morant does, but it's been a couple years.
I think because they have Ja that they do have that on you.
Yeah.
But
no, they do.
But
you have Fred.
You've beaten them three times this year, and you could theoretically beat them four times tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you have Fred. You have Dylan Brooks. Like, you have guys who at least are on the roster. And most importantly, you have a coach that's gone to the NBA Finals. And I think that will matter. You know, they're going to be, what, one of, like, three coaches in the playoffs this year, maybe four, that have played in the finals, is with Ime Udoka being there for the Rockets. So that'll give them a leg up, too. I'm not saying they're going to the Western Conference Finals, but I think that's how far it could go.
Going to be very interesting to see. How far do you see this thing going? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. I did want to bring up something. Yesterday we talked about the Psycho Alperen Şengün stance.
Yes.
So on my Gallant Says podcast, a live stream I do on my socials and such, I was a little more pointed with what I had to say about those absolute psychos who are, on top of being psychos, babies. Baby psychos. How does that work? Joe, the comments are something else. I'm going to just read one of them because it starts out kind of nuanced, where he's talking about, well, you don't have any evidence about one of the things that you brought up. You are the terrorist who needs to be killed. Did not think I would be called a terrorist and that someone would suggest I need to be killed, but I feel like I rest my case as far as Alperen Sengun stands. The real loony ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst cult, the worst subsection of a fan base in Houston sports.
I wanna differentiate them, man, because I saw other people saying the same thing about like it's gone too far with Rockets fans. They're not Rockets fans. They don't belong. Like they are loony bin people from another country who only care about one player.
Yeah, and this is what I want to tell them. So, okay, maybe we disagree on history, but don't you want Sengun to win something? Because, no offense, and I know Turkey has some good basketball players who have made it to the NBA. Hito Turkoglu is the one I think of generally when I think of Turkish basketball players. But do you think that Turkey's ever winning any kind of basketball championship?
Mm-hmm.
World Cup, Euro Cup. I don't know if they get to play in the Middle East Cup, even though they are a part of Europe, but technically they're like kind of off the continent. They're like the weird country in Europe just from a geographical perspective. I mean, Sengun's best chance of winning something ever, it's going to be with a team in the NBA. And right now, I think he's in a perfect place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that they think that the coach is like out to get him and disrespects him when just the other day Sengun said, yeah, one of the reasons I've taken the leap is because Ime Udoka believes in me.
Well, they want to ignore all that stuff. Like they don't want to hear the positive things that Alperen Sengun says about the Rockets, whether it's Ime, his teammates, the organization as a whole. They just want to say, oh, well, he was taken out of a game on a back-to-back after looking pretty tired and acting like, you know, it's this big ordeal, which is just not. It is some of the most strange behavior that now is around us with sports. Maybe it's the top of the list because, I mean, they went at Vanessa for just asking pointed questions.
No, they weren't even pointed questions.
Yeah.
Vanessa doesn't ask pointed questions. Vanessa does it in a very politically adept way because she's a pro. It's weird. Sometimes they want him to be asked pointed questions. Other times, oh my God, I can't believe it was asked. They're out of control.
Yeah.
He's the second best player on this team as of the last 2 weeks.
He is. But even then going into the season, like there were people, you know, there are Rockets, real Rockets fans who would have been team Jalen Green over Alperen Sengun. I think a lot of us would have disagreed with that on this station or at least on this show. But there were people who were still very pro Jalen over Alpi. Now it's clear it's Amen over Alpi. And
right now, yes.
Right now. And I think for the long term it will be. I'm not convinced that a player of that style can be the best player on the team. And I know Jokic is, but he's not Jokic. Like Jokic is the best player on the planet and has been for like 5 years. So asking Alperen Sengun to be that, I'm not so sure. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But yeah, these people are... I give you a lot of credit, Paul, because I got no interest to ever engage with them. I could not. I have no... I'm looking at these comments right now, man. These are brutal.
Is it bad that...
You enjoy it.
I mean,
I know you do. I see that like smirk on your face.
I kind of like it.
Hell yeah, you do. I know you do. That's why you did it, Paul. And you're going to do it again. I think every time Alperen Sengun gets benched now, you have to talk about it.
Should I like turn heel and actually join sides with them?
No. Veto.
It's one of those things where, so when I had my chill dog incident, which is now getting closer to 5 years ago, I got a lot of death threats and, you know, someone threatened to like rape me and my family and stuff Jesus. Like that. And someone else said I should like shoot myself in the head and a bunch of other things too. And I got a kick out of it because I was like, how are you this mad? but this one was basically, hey, at the very least, can we stop crying about xenophobia and racism every single time that Ime Udoka benches Alperen Sengun or someone criticizes Alperen Sengun when you guys, just given your country's history, have a very good idea of what those two words actually mean. As do we. That's what I brought up. And they got really pissed that I brought up two specific incidents. It's fine. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I also wanted to talk about Ryan Presley's press conference yesterday. And there are a couple of comments made in it that have me wondering aloud something that's going to sound
a little bit hot takey, and I don't necessarily believe it. But Ryan Presley, in that press conference that he did with Chicago media, talked about his demotion, and clearly it rubbed him the wrong way. Here is Ryan Presley.
It was tough. You know, you get demoted, and then you got to go out there and be professional and try to lead the right way. And that was, I think, one of the things that, you know, kind of separates yourself from, you know, being an athlete and a professional. Like, you want to carry yourself professionally. And, you know, that's what they pay us to do, is to go out there and be a professional. And I think that the best way I could do that and show my teammates, you know, how I can carry myself even when stuff's not going to go your way.
That's a very professional answer, because that is not how he actually felt when that all went down.
No, that was a very professional answer.
I'll still give the Astros credit, because when Kendall Graveman went down and they made that move to bring in Josh Hader, to a degree, I was excited. I didn't like the five-year nature of it, but I also thought to myself, in 2023, Presley was not the Presley we'd seen in 2022. It's really difficult to predict year to year what a relief pitcher is going to be able to bring to the table. But Presley was really pissed about it. I think he got over it, and he actually was a great teammate last season. And that's why I'm not really a fan of the way that it felt like the Astros were pressuring him to waive his no-trade clause and accept that trade to Chicago.
Yeah, signing up Josh Hader was absolutely the right move. You have a closer for the next 4 years now, five-year contract originally, and he is a significantly better pitcher than Ryan Presley. Now, he does not have the postseason accolades that Ryan Presley has, where he's been one of the best pitchers to ever touch the mound in a postseason, with, you know, Ryan Presley has been. So it's still the right move, and I get why he'd be upset, and I get why, you know, he wouldn't want to be here. I think it's interesting that he's also accepted the demotion away from the team, that he's not guaranteed the closing role. And because if it was really about just the demotion, then he would have waived his no-trade clause immediately. And the reports, or the belief that he had to be guaranteed a closer spot to actually waive it, clearly was not true and was wrong. And he's going to compete with a nobody.
Is that guy a nobody?
Paul, I don't remember who he's talking about, and I'm a Cubs fan.
Okay. So this is Ryan Presley talking about waiving his no-trade clause. He said it's one of the hardest decisions he's ever made.
You know, it's just, you know, being at home, you know, been here at home for the past 6.5-7 years. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's hard to leave your home. But, you know, again, you know, an opportunity to go play for the Cubs, you know, came about. And it was one of these opportunities I don't feel like comes around very often.
Here's where I'm going to get a little hot takey. Clearly, the main reason Presley waived his no-trade clause is that he wasn't thrilled with how last year went down, and the Astros were kind of pressuring him to leave. But you heard that at the very end. The Cubs are an opportunity that doesn't come around every now and then. You're our resident Cubs expert. Is it possible that he looks at the Cubs as having a better chance to compete next season than the Astros? Which I would say, this is not my opinion, it would be kind of crazy to feel that way given that the doesn't the NL Central have a couple of good teams?
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers are good. They're not great. Like, you're probably, honestly, I think the NL Central and the AL West are going to look very similar this
okay.
year. With, like, three teams hovering between 80 and 90 wins.
Okay.
And if the Cubs are the team with 90 or the team with 80, will probably be to the detriment or the bounce back of Ryan Presley, is my guess. A better chance to win? Maybe a division. Maybe. But better chance to get to the World Series? Absolutely not. You have to go through the Dodgers to get to the World Series. You go through the Braves, the Mets. Getting through the American League is so much easier. Like what are the Yankees this year? They lost Juan Soto. They've made a couple nice moves. But we know what the Yankees are. The Astros can beat the Yankees in the playoffs. They do it all the time.
Right. We still feel good about an Astros-Yankees series, even if they don't bring back Alex Bregman. And this offseason features an offseason where they don't do anything about the outfield. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Is it possible that Ryan Presley looked at the Cubs as a team with a better ability to compete this year than the Astros? I think he would be crazy if he did, but I would understand it to a degree if he did, because there's probably a part of him that has some sour feelings towards the organization, just given how things went down last year. There's pettiness,
competitiveness, whatever you want to call it.
I think there's a sourness for sure, not just competitiveness, but really feels like he was not looped in at all about the Hader signing. He was really pretty much the last person to know. Not that he has to be consulted, but that feels like a guy that throws the final pitch of the 2022 World Series deserves a phone call of just like, hey, we're pursuing this. It's going to happen. Like, we're going to pay this dude a ton of money. You're getting demoted to the eighth inning. But in terms of wanting to win, if he wasn't going to be an Astro and he knew they wanted to get rid of him, then if his options were Detroit or Chicago, even though Detroit knocked the Astros out of the playoffs last year, I think is clearly the better choice.
Okay.
To go there. Like, I think it's more about of where he could be traded, the teams that were interested. He thinks the Cubs were the best spot for him. Talked a lot about in this press conference about like the dream of playing in Wrigley Field. He mentioned watching Rookie of the Year as a kid as like a reference point. Yes. As like a reference point to like how cool it would be to pitch at Wrigley, which was like, made me chuckle.
Gotta say, that movie blows, but that's
it's not. I'm with you. It's
Angels
not
in the
a
Outfield
movie.
Just completely blows that. And
yes,
there's Rookie of the Year and Little Big League, the one where the kid owns the Twins.
Oh, yeah.
Both those movies sucked. Angels in the Outfield, greatest baseball movie ever. Move over, Major League. Move over for the love of the game. Move over, Bull Durham. Yeah, I'm going that far. And I love Bull Durham. Bull Durham made me cry. First time I watched it, I loved it. I got very sentimental at the end.
I don't think it made me cry. It was close.
Susan Sarandon, jeez.
Feel the Dreams? Thoughts?
I hate that movie.
Oh, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Oh, let's build a baseball field in the cornfield. No one's going to go. It's in Iowa. What are you doing? This is not a smart business making venture. And oh, you're the ghost of your dad comes out and you have a catch with him at the end? Because Shoeless Joe Jackson, who's apparently not burning in hell for cheating on baseball. Just kidding. I have no idea if there's an afterlife or anything like that. But Joe Jackson's like, hey, I know your dad. Hey, what's up?
If the Astros played in the Field of Dreams game, I would 100% want to go to it.
Yeah.
To like see what it would be like. Even though I think the movie's overrated. It's like see the Astros play on that field and see the players come out of the cornfield would be cool.
Well, yeah, because you'd be tripping balls and seeing ghosts. That would be something else. That would be truly incredible. Now, it could be holograms. Maybe they could figure something out. Like Scooby-Doo seemed to have the technology to make ghosts back in the day. With, like, paper, cardboard paper and all sorts of stuff. I don't know. Anyway, going back to this is definitely a hot take, and this is not what I'm endorsing. I'm just asking the question. Is it possible Ryan Pressly thinks the Cubs are better than the Astros? Here's Ryan Pressly talking about Alex Bregman and how, like, hey, maybe the Cubs should bring him in.
He was the heartbeat, you know, of that clubhouse in Houston. And, you know, having him come to Chicago would be an amazing thing, I think, for us. However, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on in his camp. I just, you know, I personally, I would love to play with him again just because he's just a solid dude and a great teammate. And, you know, his kid plays with my kids and, you know, our wives are close friends. So, again, having another familiar face on the team would be, you know, super helpful. And that left side of the infield would be really, really good. But I still think we're really good with or without him signing, you know. But, again, I would love to have him. With us in Wrigley.
Love to have him, but hey, I think we're really good. I mean, he's giving a political answer, but at the same time, just a hot take idea. Anyone else want to take it further? Jeremy Branham, this is for you if you want it. Giving you some fresh meat.
He wants nothing to do with Alex Bregman, so I think he's, or at least he doesn't want to pay Alex Bregman the money that he apparently wants.
I mean, the take that the Cubs are better than the Astros. Jeremy, if you want it, I'm giving it to you on a silver platter, okay? Your show prep's done for the day, and you can come in and you can just have some fun.
I do think Alex is going to be an Astro or a Cub. I think those are going to be the final two teams.
So the Cubs are back in?
Yeah, a bunch of people in Chicago think that the Cubs are going to be the team that if Bregman finally backs down from a 5 to 7 year contract and is willing to go short term, that the Cubs will go to a place that the Astros potentially will not go to. In terms of value, like per year, that they will up the offer to a point where maybe he would accept a 3-year deal with a bunch of opt outs in there. So
interesting.
I don't think it's impossible, but I think those are the final two teams. I think he's either on a 5-year deal with the Astros or a short term deal with the Cubs. Sounds like the Red Sox are out.
Okay.
Maybe the Tigers are still part of this, but it really feels like, based on what I've been reading, that it feels like the final two teams are the Cubs and the Astros.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. A couple other thoughts on best baseball movie, The Natural. Had a good soundtrack, but I was annoyed by Robert Redford's character getting shot and like clearly dying or falling. And then the person who shot him like jumps out a window in the middle of Chicago, but the soundtrack's great. Eight Men Out was pretty good. Had a lot of names, but
I think I've seen that one.
That's the one about the Black Sox.
Okay.
And what else do we have?
Sandlot from the text line.
I hated Smalls. I just hated him. I hated Smalls.
Yeah, you know, yeah, Paul, that tracks. I hated him. Like thinking of Sandlot and like the person you'd hate.
And then he ends up being a broadcaster later. It's like, yo, you don't know anything about sports, dude. Like, I just don't believe your passion.
I mean, he knows about
them. No, he didn't. He didn't know who Babe Ruth was.
Oh, that's right. That's
he didn't,
right.
He didn't
right.
know how to play, catch. Like, then all of a sudden, like, oh, the Jet. I wonder if he's got something left in the tank. Calling him stealing. I don't know. Whatever. It's Galan and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You got any sports conspiracy theories? Because it is a tinfoil hat Thursday. Interesting one about the NFL from Bill Burr. You'll hear it. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Couple more suggestions for best baseball movie. The Fan with Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro. Haven't seen that one.
No, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I'd watch that. From the 713, you don't like Moneyball? You know the mythology that never really worked. LOL. Yeah, for the Oakland Augusters. I refuse to watch that movie, even though I've heard it's good, entirely because they glamorize a 20-game regular season winning streak.
It's a really good movie, but it's also a lie, most of it.
Barry Zito, Mark Mulder, Tim Hudson.
They're not mentioned in the movie, Paul.
Yeah. That's the part that drives me crazy. They had incredible pitching, and they were able to scout and draft and develop that. Also, they blew a 2-0 series lead on the Boston Red Sox in the second in the wild card round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and they've never that guy's never accomplished anything. Like
no,
so it is a good movie. Like it is well done.
It glamorizes like, hey, we have cheap owners. We have to work around it. And if I'm not mistaken, the movie also doesn't really point a finger at John Fisher or his papa, who I'm sure was running the show back then, who is the worst owner in sports.
Yeah, they're
playing like, in a minor league stadium this year.
I feel like they kind of allude to it, where like they reference that they don't have money to spend, but they don't frame it as our owner won't let us spend
right.
money. It's just we don't have the money, basically.
Yeah, like, oh, poor little us. Meanwhile, owner's like reaping in profits in that dump of a stadium.
And now they're going to Vegas.
Eventually. We'll see, though. I don't know. All right. Every single Thursday at 12:30 going forward, I want to do a segment called Tinfoil Hat Thursday. I once again forgot to bring in my tinfoil hat, and I couldn't find the giant aluminum foil tray. So if you're watching along on YouTube and on Twitch, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I will not be wearing a tinfoil hat. I swear, next time I'll bring it in. But give me a little X-Files music to set some ambience, Sean. Bill Burr was on the Rich Eisen show. I love Bill Burr.
I do too.
It is kind of sad that all Boston celebrities generally fall into that stereotype of we're angry. I feel like Bill Burr and I have that in common, though Bill's obviously way more successful than me, but I love Bill. I think it's hilarious. Bill was on Rich Eisen and he just went on the attack because he believes that Rich Eisen is stooging for the NFL, who clearly is trying to help the Chiefs win.
I don't think it's fixed. I think it's massaged. There's definitely more back rubs on one side than the other. I mean, I don't know. Like, dude, you know what kills me? It was when I watched the NBA in 2000, massaged. I was going like, this is fixed. This is fixed.
Well, at times it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. But then they do the Oswald thing. They blame it on one guy.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, it was just him. It's like, how if I'm on an officiating crew with you and I'm shaving points, how long before you figure that out?
So you don't think the Chiefs are as good as they really are?
I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying that I you know, it's a business.
You've got Chiefs fatigue. That's what you've got.
What?
You got a little bit of the Chiefs fatigue. You're tired of watching them win.
Okay. You're a company man. I get it. I get it.
Rich is a company man. Been with the NFL for years, although...
Rich did play along better than I would have imagined.
That's all you can really do when you're on with Bill Burr, because he's going to crap on you for something.
Yeah.
This is generally the masshole way. So we're going to find something and sometimes playfully and sometimes angrily get on you for it.
But he basically called the NFL the WWE.
It is worth noting that the NFL is classified under entertainment and not sports based off of some lawsuit. I vaguely heard this discussed on some podcast. I don't remember the specifics. I just know that if you classify yourself as entertainment, theoretically the idea of things being fixed, it's on the table. I just think it's hard to do it in the way that some are claiming it's done when you have all the variables of 22 different players on a field, two different coaches. But the idea that it's massaged, is that tinfoil hattery or is that actually what's going down?
I don't think it's tinfoil hattery. Why, we always know this. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the best quarterbacks, they get treated differently. And even if it's not a direct, we want them to win, you are intentionally protecting certain quarterbacks and not protecting other ones. Like that's massaged. Like that is clear intent by the referees, whether they're being told to by the NFL or they don't want to get like crucified on social media for allowing a superstar quarterback to get hit. It's definitely massaged. They don't treat everything equal. I mean, think about even like the way they call rule. Like, they call penalties. There's penalties on every play. They just pick and choose when they call them. There's holding on every play. There's probably false starts on every play. And they only call them. Think back. Remember the Vikings game week one? I think it was the Vikings game where they called like six false starts.
Oh, was the Vikings playing another team?
No, it was the Chiefs game. It was the right tackle just kept like jumping on.
Yes, Chiefs Ravens.
False starts. Like, because they were trying to implement this new rule and it got Laremy Tunsil a bunch this year.
Confused. Gotcha. Yeah.
But, like, yes, I got my purple confused. But, like, it just kept happening. But then all of a sudden, after, like, 3 weeks, it kind of vanished. Well, why? You put this new rule in, but it was penalizing the Chiefs, so it feels like it kind of stopped.
I
don't know.
Generally, I feel like you go back to what works, and I think they overcorrected at the beginning of the year. And then they were like, hey, this is disrupting the flow of the game, so we're not going to make this a big deal. But that is a conspiracy that's out there. I also saw a video posted on Twitter/X by someone named Plaque12. It's about a 5 to 6 minute video narrated by someone more nasally than me.
Okay.
Showing every single time that the Buffalo Bills were marked short of where they actually got to on the field, at least in the eyes of this guy. Is this part of the NFL's grand conspiracy? Was this how they massaged the outcome of the game? Always marking the Bills short? Tinfoil hattery or the truth?
Can I go somewhere in the middle? Say just bad reffing? Because I was trying to watch a little bit of it, and I see the guy's point on some of them. So it's a little tinfoily. Because I think he pushed it a little bit. I think he tried to use too much evidence. I think it hurt his case.
Too much evidence?
Yeah, I think not.
Oh, because some of them were stretches.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think if he would have tried to make a shorter, more concise video, it only like use specific plays, I might have been bought it a little bit more. I think this is a little too tinfoily for me.
It's very brain rot of you. It's too long.
Yeah, fair.
Too much evidence here. I looked at it. I think there's a couple of cases to be made that there were some bad calls as far as the ball spot, but that 4th-and-1 play with Josh Allen, a lot of people are so convinced that he got it. I really just don't think anyone can say that he got it. I get it. Like, I get being frustrated about it and maybe looking at some other moments. and then saying, yeah, well, it happened here, 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 and here. But I do think it's a little bit tinfoily. Dean Blandino said that he believed Josh Allen got the first down on that play. Meanwhile, Dean Blandino's brother, he thinks that the NFL is rigged for the Chiefs and that his brother has signed an NDA to not talk about how the NFL is rigged for the Chiefs.
That's very funny. That his brother believes that. I mean, look, if they would never let it get out if they were favoring certain teams. They could never do it. You cannot be as in bed with gambling companies. I don't know if it kills the sport, but I would imagine it gets pretty close if it were to come out like the league was telling them to help the Chiefs win. It's one thing that, as Bill Burr referenced, to have, you know, one, in quotes, referee that is altering games. But if it was like a mandate to the refs where one of your main TV guys is then signing an NDA, that feels very tinfoily.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little bit too much. That would be funny, though, if he is secretly all along like Walter White to his brother, who's Hank,
yeah,
trying to dig for the truth. One last one. Yeah, I got a lot of people suggesting this. The idea that Super Bowl ratings will be down.
Why do people believe this? Because of the national championship game?
No, I think they believe that the numbers will be down because everyone's sick of the Chiefs, which, I don't know. The AFC championship game just broke the record for numbers.
Yeah, I think we're at hate watch point, aren't we?
Oh, it's just that's like the opposite of how this works in every sport.
Yeah.
It's like the dynasties equal more people watch. It's like exactly. That is just like the simplest, like whether it's the Lakers versus the Warriors versus Cavs, when it was the Heat, like they're just more people watch than when it's Arizona and Texas in the World Series.
Like more people will watch the Dodgers in the World Series this year because of all the players they've signed, all of America besides Los Angeles will be rooting for them to lose. Just like most people, I would imagine, are rooting for the Eagles.
It's like when the Astros were in the World Series.
Yeah.
Like
they're hate watching.
No, this is just crybabies that are still upset about the refs doing the performative, I'm not going to watch.
I think a lot of them will watch it.
Yes. What else? What the hell else are you going
to
watch?
On Super Bowl Sunday, the idea that you're not going to watch the Super Bowl, to me, that is really far-fetched. If you're listening to us right now and you don't watch any of the Super Bowl on Sunday, I'm almost wondering if you exist.
Like why you're here, yeah.
No, I appreciate you being here.
Yes.
But you're really going to stop watching the Super Bowl because the Texans got jobbed against the Chiefs?
Especially because like just then watching just root for, you know, Jalen Hurts, the local kid.
Yeah, he channeled you.
And the Eagles.
Or if you think it's rigged, just bet on the Chiefs. Just bet your mortgage on the Chiefs.
Like, honestly, like, if you really think it's rigged, then just put your life savings on the Chiefs and prove it.
MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. That is the funny thing. If it was rigged, like, wouldn't there be one person just making a ton of money like he's Biff and Back to the Future 2? And like just constantly winning money and money and money. Like the guy that actually you do listen to when it comes to gambling advice. Unlike all those, you know, those are always a generic. There used to be, I don't know if we did it here. So, like, I know we had Five Star, and Five Star actually didn't know what he was talking about. But I remember there always were these like, generic-sounding names, and there was a hotline to call. Oh. And it would be like, Biff Stone! Call Biff Stone for his lock of the week! And, like, they probably just take your credit card information.
Stuff. Yeah, and depending on when you call, they give out different picks.
Yeah.
So that way they're always right.
Yeah, you call, one call gets, you know.
Eagles, one call gets Chiefs.
Yeah.
A lot of times. That's the way a lot of those phone services used to work.
Chiff Stevels. Like, you know, just some random name. And I felt like they would change it up and it would be the same guy. And they just rebranded if he didn't do so well.
Tom Winters. Tom Summers.
I also think it's weird that people are just still so adamant also that they're not going to watch because Taylor Swift's going to be on TV. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, like,
I want to see more. As a Taylor Swift ally, I want to see more Taylor Swift.
Just like I don't understand why people think that this Super Bowl is less interesting than other Super Bowls. This is like a very middle of the road Super Bowl matchup. I'm not even saying it's great. I'm just saying like we get a lot of matchups like these where it's like, yeah, it's a rematch. I guess is that what people don't like? But the rematch was of a 38-35 game. And like, and if the NFL, like yeah. That's a great game that it was the rematch.
And if like the NFL was rigged, like truly, truly rigged, do you think a small market in Kansas City, even though they have Patrick Mahomes, would be like the driving force for ratings?
Well, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on.
Or just, the Eagle.
Just like, for the sake of argument. Well, that's exactly how they get away with it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
That's why the Jets and the Giants and the Bears are all trash.
And the Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
People are going to watch anyway.
Yeah.
Why build them up?
Yeah.
From the 713, if the NFL was scripted, why aren't the Cowboys at the Super Bowl?
Right there.
Chiefs-Cowboys.
People are going to talk about the Cowboys no matter what.
Chiefs-Cowboys would be ridiculous.
Like it would be. Cowboys, anybody. It's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. When the Cowboys make their next Super Bowl, it's going to be insane. If they make their next
Super Bowl. Yeah, so, yeah, there we go. Now, it sounded like you wanted it to happen. Now you just don't believe
it's going to happen. You play enough Super Bowls, it's going to happen.
Well, you could say the same about the Texans.
I would say the same about the Texans.
Would you say the same about the Jaguars eventually?
I would say about literally every team in the league.
You think every team will eventually play in a Super Bowl?
Yes.
I wonder. Lions got really close.
I mean, unless you think the Super Bowl is going to stop in 15 years, then yeah, maybe not.
I will say if I was going to fade a team, I still might fade the Lions just because they've been around for much longer.
They've been around forever.
Than the Texans and Jags and Browns.
But again, they're one win away last year, two wins away this year.
Yeah.
The Browns and Lions have at least won in the 50s, but it wasn't the Super Bowl then.
That's true.
I would be so pissed off if my team won, especially like
can't
the Browns.
Claim it.
The Browns won a ton in the 50s,
yeah,
but like
I think they won 6 or
3
seven
years
titles.
Later, 3 years later you get to claim every title.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a little
crazy.
Crap.
It's crazy that they get to do that.
Yeah, like it's just...
like the Celtics get to count all theirs pre-ABA merger.
So true.
But the NFL pre-merger doesn't count. Get out of here with it.
It's because they called the game instead of the championship. They gave it a cool name.
They did. It's a branding win.
Super Bowl.
Credit to the... Yeah, that's from the Chiefs owner, Clark Hunt.
You know what? Then I'm okay with his great-grandson or whatever getting the trophy every time.
Yeah.
And obviously having like pre-scripted lines out.
And the, I think the great-granddaughter or the daughter? His daughter.
Clark Hunt's daughter.
Who's the Instagram lady?
Current owner's daughter.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm guessing it's his granddaughter.
Yes.
Strong, powerful, independent woman. Very strong. Very powerful.
It's true.
And can't wait for her to start calling the shots like it's Major League.
Mm-hmm. She can call the shots for me.
Or any given Sunday.
I would probably trust her more than like Woody Johnson's kids.
Brick? I don't know. You know what? I actually don't think the Jets are ever going to make a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they did make it once. They made the third one, and they're the first team that won it from the AFL side of
things. Yeah, but those kids weren't alive.
They're the only reason.
That's the problem.
They're the only reason the Super Bowl exists. Like, if the Jets hadn't won the Super Bowl in Super Bowl III, I wonder if the AFL would have been like kind of shoved to the side. But anyway, guys, it's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Let's just roll right through. Here's the latest on the Houston Texans coordinator front. I don't think there's anything that interesting. Nick Caley is supposed to interview today. He's the Rams passing game coordinator and tight end coach. Last year, supposedly, I saw this from Seth Payne. He said that he turned down $3 million a year to be Gerard Mayo's offensive coordinator with New England last year. So he's looking for a lot. New England might have been a situation that he looked at with Gerard Mayo and said, nah, no thanks. If there's no Nick Caserio there anymore, if there's no Bill Belichick there anymore. But $3 million a year is a lot for an offensive coordinator. That is probably more than what Chip Kelly is making at Ohio State.
That is more than Chip Kelly.
Okay. So if he's asking for that much, it's not that the Texans should turn their nose up at it. It's more, if he's looking for that much, what's the most you can feel comfortable with offering Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator?
Well, Liam Cohen was going to get $4.5 million from Tampa to stay.
Damn.
Okay,
so I guess that's the market rate, because that was going to be the highest paid offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I just typed in highest paid OC from someone from CBS, Jeff Kerr, says Kellen Moore makes $2.5 million. He's the third highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL. So you probably got to go to four and a half, five.
I mean,
if they want Chip Kelly.
It doesn't sound like Chip Kelly has interest in the NFL anymore.
I mean, he was with the number one recruit, a five-star quarterback in his house yesterday.
And he's got all the toys at Ohio State that in the NFL he doesn't get to have. So you'd have to do a lot to lure him away. But, I mean, if you really want to get people back in to swarming up a storm this offseason, that's the move. And look, I don't know if it works out. I am of the belief that during the offseason, as an organization, you got to sell hope, which the Cowboys completely failed to do. And does Chip Kelly work out? Truly do not know. But is $5 million a year too much for an organization that is probably still paying David Culley and still paying Lovie Smith and still paying Bobby Slowick, who they gave a huge raise to last year?
It's not my money.
I'm just saying, like, get to their credit.
Yeah.
Like, hate on Cal and hate on the McNairs all you want. Like, they are cool with paying for a problem to go away. So why not pay for a huge name?
Totally agree. And if you're going to pay $3.5 million for a guy who's never called plays before, I can't imagine going to $5 million for Chip Kelly would be the problem.
Yeah, it should be a Chip Kelly is turning down a doubling of his salary to stay at Ohio State as opposed to paying, again, slightly less for a guy who used to draw plays for Sean McVay or whoever they end up getting. It's going to be at least, you would think, a big step down as far as what they should command on the open market. Like any of these guys, like, Jeff Nixon isn't going to be asking for $3.5 million.
No, definitely not. No, but look, Nixon, I prefer Nixon to Kaley. I think that Nick Kaley's going to end up getting the gig. Bill Lazor, their senior offensive assistant, got an interview today too. They're just going to ask him what's up, what happened, what was wrong. I really do hope that at the very least, Lazor and Gerard Johnson, when he did his interview yesterday, that they were very transparent about what they thought was wrong. I really do not want, whether it's Kaley or the guys who are currently on the coaching staff, to say, yeah, this is fine, I can make this work. No, I want you to say everything sucks. I want you to say Shaq Mason, he should retire. I want you to say Blake Fisher, good God, maybe he needs to be on the bench another season. I want you to come in here, scorched earth, and say we need to upgrade a lot of different things, and then we can work on things. But that's the problem. These interviews, like, you're expected to kind of come up with a plan for what's currently there. And I don't know. They got the skill players for sure, but the offensive line needs work.
Yeah. If D'Amico Ryan's interviews one of these guys and they try to pretend like everything's sunshine and rainbows and just like their ideas fixes everything, then you know they're a bad candidate. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to acknowledge the elephants in the room, which is the players on the roster and the players who were hurt last year and how you're going to replace them, because your wide receiver room is depleted, your tight end is slow, your offensive line stinks. Like, you have to flip it back on Nick Caserio a little bit, frankly, in these interviews to prove, like, you're aware of what's going on.
Hey, Nick, you even know what an offensive lineman is, bro?
That's how you do. You flip it. Flip the interview.
Yeah, hey,
you start interviewing Nick Caserio.
Yeah. Look, read Steven Nelson's tweets to find something to diss Caserio with. That's how they'll bring somebody in. You got to neg them.
Yeah,
like, you've read the game.
Yeah, it's just like, well, okay, so my plan to coach around this $100 million offensive line, to this $100 million liability that whoever set this up for me, here's my plan. Be very passive-aggressive with the criticisms of the offensive line.
That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. A wise philosopher once said, "See the stone set in your eyes. See the thorn twist in your side. I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate. On a bed of nails, she makes me wait. And I'll wait without you." With Alex Bregman or without Alex Bregman, with or without him, how would you grade the Astros offseason? We'll do that next. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.